Everyone knows that if you go out into the sun in the heat of the summer, which I am really missing right now, by the way, but if you go out into the heat of the summer and you don't wear sunscreen or a hat or something, that you will get sunburn. It is simple science. Exposed skin plus sun plus time equals ouchies. But in my experience, when I have had my worst cases of sunburn, I only notice much later when it actually starts to hurt. That's because when I actually get sunburn, it is usually because I am too distracted to remember to take care of myself. Because I am too busy doing whatever it is that has taken me out into the sun in the first place to notice. And I think that that is exactly what has happened to Moses in our Old Testament lesson. I love how his face is described in this story. Shortly after the low point in Israelite history, the story of the golden calf, Moses has saved the people from the divine wrath. And he is up on Mount Sinai again, talking with God. And they have a grand old time. And Moses has the experience of a lifetime. And the Bible says this, that as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin on his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and all of the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. And I find that absolutely incredible. Moses has been with God, and it changes him. Over and over again, I have stood up here and declared that because of our experiences with God, we are changed. I said it earlier, that the old life is gone. A new life has begun. And for Moses, that is physically true. Without him even noticing, his face has changed. It is different than before. He is different than before. God plus Moses plus time equals a different Moses. He has gotten a serious case of divine sunburn. So serious, in fact, that for the rest of his time with the Israelites, he covers his face with a veil. Except for when he speaks with God and relays that message to the people. For the rest of the time, he is covered. But you have to wonder why this has happened. I mean, on one hand, I am convinced that this is simply a natural process, a natural reaction. Just like science, right? Baking soda and vinegar get you that fizzy stuff. Skin and the sun get you sunburn. Close exposure to God and you are changed. Sometimes physically. But with God, there is also always a purpose, a secondary reason. So why is Moses changed like this? Why does God pause, or at least allow, this reaction to take place? I think that it is because he wants Moses to have a sign. Moses may have had an incredible mountaintop experience, literally in his case. But the people have also just had the low point in their history. And God is asking Moses to take those people and transform them into something new. They are already the people of God. But Moses is tasked with guiding them to live into that reality, to teach them how they can follow God's will and bring a blessing upon all of the earth, as had been promised to Abraham generations before. And that is going to be incredibly hard. And so God gives Moses the gift of a transformation, one that will constantly remind him of his experience and relationship to God, one that will encourage him in his ministry and mission to the people of the world, but one that will also remind him of the difficulties of his mission, because it will also forever remind him of the people's sin at the golden calf incident. Jesus, too, had a similar experience. The parallels between our gospel passage and our Old Testament passage are obvious. Like Moses, Jesus goes up onto the mountain to have an experience with God, to pray. And while he is praying, he too experiences a physical change. And this has always bothered me, because like with Moses, we are going to ask why this happens. And my first response is that it must be to demonstrate Jesus' close connection with God. Yea, even that he is indeed God. But somehow, while that is true, it doesn't feel like a good enough explanation. I mean, after all, the text tells us that the few disciples that saw this didn't even tell anyone about it until well after Jesus' death and resurrection. They can't keep quiet when Jesus tells them not to tell people things. But here, when Jesus does not tell them to keep silent, mum's the word. They don't even tell the other disciples. So this demonstration of divine discourse doesn't seem to be for the disciples. So what then? Well, I think that this is the same reason, that it's the same answer for Jesus that it was for Moses. The Gospel of Luke is alone in telling us what it is that Jesus discusses with Moses and Elijah, who visit him on the mountain. Verse 31 explains that they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which was about to be accomplished at Jerusalem. Like when Moses received his blessing in the Old Testament, Jesus' transformation, his transfiguration, coincided with a renewal of his mission. Both Moses and Jesus had previously been aware of what was going on. Moses had received and destroyed one set of Ten Commandment tablets already. And Jesus seems to have known his mission for a while as well. But both of them go to the mountain to pray and are transformed at the moment that they are reminded of their mission. And Jesus, who, yes, was fully God, was also fully human. And so, like Moses, he receives this blessing for himself so that he might be encouraged in the difficult times ahead. Is this the experience that he remembers when a few weeks later he is in the Garden of Gethsemane begging his Father to take away this cup, but not my will be done, but yours? Is this what gives him the strength to go through with this crazy plan of dying for the sins of all people in one of the most gruesome ways imaginable? And note that like Moses, whose transformation which deals with sin because of the golden calf and the fact that Moses becomes the temporary mediator between God and his people, here too, Jesus' transfiguration has to do with sin. Sin because it encourages him in his mission to become the permanent mediator between God and his people by dying for their sins. This is what Paul means in his letter to the Corinthians about there being a veil whenever the law of Moses is read, and how that veil is removed when we turn to Christ. Moses was the stopgap. The glory that was reflected on his face was a preview of the glory that would be seen in the Messiah. But all of it, at the end of the day, has to do with an encouragement to fulfill the command of God by doing their mission to eradicate sin and spread God's grace to all people. And that's all well and good for them. Thousands of years ago, it's great that Moses would never forget his experience with God because every morning he had to put a veil on. It's great that Jesus got divine encouragement and a visit from Moses and Elijah to encourage him in his ministry. But what about our ministries? Not to sound greedy, but do we get anything? And of course, the answer is yes. Which, with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we receive abundant encouragement in our mission for God. I've been telling you over the last couple of weeks that each and every one of us, each and every one of you, has a ministry, a mission that God has given to all of us. And He has also given us many ways of encouraging us in those mission, in those ministries. But perhaps the most poignant is the gift of His body and blood for us. When we approach the table during communion, we approach our risen Lord. The same Lord who said that those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me and I in them. It is here at this table that we receive Jesus in the fullest way possible. And He has promised that whenever we do, He becomes a part of us. We experience Him. Just like Moses experienced God on the mountain, and just like Jesus Himself experienced God on another mountain, we experience God the Son in communion. And no, our faces won't glow, at least probably not, but at the same time, this is the truth, that when we come to this table, we come to Jesus. And Jesus plus us equals a changed us, a renewed us, an us that is able to do His work and His ministry in this world. Over the last few weeks, I have asked you to think about what your ministry is. Now, I encourage you to approach your Lord and Savior and ask Him to give you the encouragement, the strength, to do that ministry. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.